Good morning. Be seated, please. I want to send greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ to all of our tape subscribers all around the country. We send approximately almost 40 CDs every week to different people in our fellowship here, as well as a number of people all throughout the country. So God bless all of you who are listening to this CD at this point in time. A gentleman by the name of Nathan Talley is recording this CD for all of you out there and wherever you live, so you can keep him in your prayers. We're going to start this morning in John chapter 14. What I'd like to do, first of all, is set a little context for this particular section of Scripture. John chapter 14. Basically, the context of what's happening here is Jesus has just finished the Last Supper. You know he's going to be betrayed. You know his future in the next few days is going to be very brutal. But yet, from his heart comes the sharing, which is recorded in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. We're going to look at a few portions of that this morning. In verse 14, you can just understand his heart. The disciples are a little bit concerned because he keeps telling them, I'm going away. I'm going to the Father. I won't be with you anymore. That concerned them a little bit. And so we pick up the record in John chapter 14, verse 1, where it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will," what? "Come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know." In other words, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And of course, Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus makes this great statement, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You think Jesus in his heart might have been a little heavy during this time? He knew what was coming. It's prophesied in the book of Isaiah. It wasn't a pretty thing that he was about to undertake. But yet these are the truths that came out of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to go down to verse 15, where it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be" where? "In you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Well, that must have been really encouraging to the disciples, because they were like at a point where, oh my God, he's leaving, he's going away, he's talking about going somewhere, and then he's talking about coming back. But Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is what? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he or it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might what? Believe. He's telling them, something's coming. I'm not going to leave you alone, even though I'm leaving here physically. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to be with you. Look in chapter 15, in verse 26. It says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So he continues to talk about this subject of the Comforter. And then God's Word explains what the Comforter is. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that will come unto these people. We go to John chapter 16, verse 7. He seems to be reiterating a point here. I'm going away. I'm leaving. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, or it, the Spirit of truth, is come, it will show you, or guide you, into all truth. For it shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall it speak. And he and it will show you things to come. It shall glorify me, for it shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 16, a little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. He continues to reiterate and repeat this concept that I'm leaving. I'm going away. But I'm going to the Father. And that at a certain point in time, I'm going to come to you again. Pick up the record in John chapter 17. And these, to me, this is absolutely amazing revelation that's spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ on the very day and evening that he's going to be betrayed and dragged away by soldiers to be tortured. This is what comes out of the man's heart. John chapter 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. These have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me on the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. Blood, He purchased me on the cross. He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, lost estate to save, in His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me.
Chapter 24. A wonderful thing happened after the torture, the killing, the murder of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And 3 24-hour periods later, a very, very, very miraculous thing happened. We want to pick up the record in Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Where it says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they come out to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which he had prepared and certain others with him. And oh my God, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And yes, they entered in and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? 3 days and three nights later, the Lord Jesus Christ was raised in victory." He was alive for 40 days. And on the 40th day, he made some very interesting statements. In Luke chapter 24, we pick up the record in verse 49. This is actually what we would call the day of the ascension. It would be the 40th day of Christ's resurrection, where he has the apostles gathered together and he says to them, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with or clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, he blessed them. It came to pass, while he blessed them, right in the middle of "God bless," he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. This is no fairy tale. This is reality. This is reality Bible. Verse 52, and it says, "And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen? Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 1. Some more words that the Lord Jesus Christ said on the day of the ascension, 40 days after he had been raised from the dead. As if that wasn't miraculous enough, now he's telling them that there's going to be a fulfillment of a certain promise given. That's what he was talking about in John chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. Acts chapter 1. Verse 2, it says, "Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, not many days hence. When they were therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them," verse 7, "it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Verse 8, but, "you shall receive power, after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. There he goes. See ya. And a cloud received him out of their sight. These apostles must have been walking around with their mouths open. First they see him nailed to a tree. And then 3 days and three nights later he gets raised from the dead. And then he's with them for 40 days. And now here on the 40th day, this occurs. But what did he set in their minds before he left? Both in Luke and Acts chapter 1. Wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Why? And you shall receive power. Not inherent power, manifested power. And so we pick up the record on the 50th day, 10 days after the resurrection, 10 days after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about God's timing. The word Pentecost means 50. God has this all planned out. He's a lot smarter than we are. Christ was raised for 40 days, ascended on the 40th day, 10 days later, the day of Pentecost, everybody's in Jerusalem. See, Pentecost is a big, big deal in Judaism. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That means the 12. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven of a mushy, rushing, mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We didn't read the record, but in another place in the Gospels, Jesus Christ instructed them how to receive and how to manifest Holy Spirit. This rushing wind is like a heavy breathing. And then they just received and they began to manifest the Spirit of God. What did they have on that day? You think they knew? It's questionable. The revelation given in Ephesians wasn't even given for 22 years later from the day of Pentecost. You think maybe they might have remembered some of those things Jesus was telling them like 43 days before? I won't leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Comforter to you, which is the Holy Spirit. See, Holy Spirit is just not a New Testament concept. Old Testament believers had Spirit. The difference in that situation was it was conditional. You could lose it. Colossians chapter 1, please. God is just so wonderful and so gracious to us. Because when an individual receives the Spirit of God, he cannot lose it. I'll tell you what, in our day and time, that is a revelation. Now, I don't propound that we go out and live like the devil or live for the devil, realizing we're in the grace administration. But God forbid if something should happen or a person makes the wrong choice, he doesn't lose his eternal life Spirit. And God's Word talks about that in many, many different places. If your mother and father could get together and you have the seed of your mother and father within you and you can't lose it, you think God could do something less? You know, it's like the glass of water, you know, you put the button in on a little string. Okay, you're good today, you keep it. Bad tomorrow, clink, 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 clink. That doesn't line up with God's Word. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says we're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because otherwise, all of a sudden, then, Shate's better than me. She's better than the next person. God is not a respecter of persons. We're all on an equal level playing field. Look at this verse in Colossians chapter 1. This is our retemery verse for the week. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. This is what Jesus was talking about. I won't leave you alone. I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will be in you. As you begin to really think about Christianity, why are people called Christians? Because in the first century, all these believers were going around telling everybody they had Christ in them. Christian. A Christian is one who has Christ within. Not somebody who goes to church. That could be possibly, potentially, religion. Christianity is a relationship of a father with his family. Those people who God has fathered. This is what the day of Pentecost was all about. This was what these people received on the day of Pentecost when they believed and received and manifested. They had Christ in them. Christ in them. Christ in them. The hope of glory. This is something that God kept secret from before the foundations of the world. No one knew about it. Not even the stupid devil knew about it. Because had the devil known it, he never would have crucified Jesus Christ, would he? Much better having one guy alive than a bunch of people with Christ's power within them. It says so in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at it. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. You can hardly believe this is written in your Bible. Seriously. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would what? Not have crucified the Lord of glory. Unbelievable. If it wasn't written in this Bible, you may or may not believe it. I don't know. But there it is. God beat the devil at his own game. He kept this a secret from before the foundations of the world. The devil had no idea what was going on. He thought he had won when he had Jesus Christ killed. Then God raised him from the dead. He was alive 40 days, ascended. 10 days later, each and every person from that point forward, from the day of Pentecost, who receives Christ as Lord, believe God, raised him from the dead, has Christ in them. Christ in them. Christ in them. What does that mean? That means everywhere you go, Christ is there. You take the place of the absent Christ on this planet Earth physically. Christ is in heaven. He's seated up there at the right hand of God. He's not retired. Okay? He is risen. He's got a job up there. He's the head of the one body of Christ, right? Yeah. See? Each individual believer now in the body of Christ has Christ in them. Christ in them. She has it. She has it. He has it. You have it. All of us. One body. And God has set the members in particular as it has pleased Him. See? Cool, huh? So what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Well, I guess there's a lot of things we could do with it. We could do nothing. Many people have Christ in them, don't even know it. Maybe they got saved. Maybe they got born again, confessed Jesus the Lord at a Billy Graham crusade. Billy Graham gets a lot of people born again. But what quality of life do they have? Are they being educated, told? Do they know what they've received spiritually? What do we do with it? What has God really wanted from even the very beginning in Genesis? People who would love Him out of their own free will. Not be legalistically, you know, clubbed over the head saying, "You smoke, I hate you." All God wanted was someone who loved Him out of their own free will. And the beautiful thing about all this is that now Holy Spirit gives us the ability to worship and to praise God perfectly. We can't even get in the way now, which is a darn good thing. It's like that verse Bob quoted in John chapter 4. The Father seeketh such as to worship Him. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The purpose of Jesus Christ going through all of that torture, giving His life by His own free will, is that so now we can have intimate fellowship with God Almighty. We can worship Him. We can praise God. When will it cease? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You think you're a nobody? You have Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Great study on the love of God and the renewed mind and manifestation. Verse 8 says, "Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall" what? "Cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." When Christ returns, there will be no need for us to continue to have the manifestations of the Spirit. "When I was a child," verse 11, "I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now abideth these three." Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. You can know the Bible, you can memorize the Bible from the beginning to end and quote it backwards and forwards and upside down standing on your head. But unless there's a loving heart that this Word of God is manifested through, then you know what? It says it becomes like a tinkling cymbal, sounding brass. It really just does not have the amount of profit that's available to have. So our great opportunity is to balance the walk with the Spirit, with our knowledge of God's Word and the loving heart we have for Him. We are all empowered. Say that. All. All. You. We are all empowered. Why? Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. We are all empowered to help, to minister, to serve, to give, to live, and to have the joy of knowing the God that has given to us His eternal life Spirit on an intimate basis. And ladies and gentlemen, we take the place of the physically absent Christ here on earth today. Father, thank You for this wonderful subject of who we are, what we've been given so freely. God, I don't know what it takes sometimes to work with us human beings down here, but I trust that You just will Help us get what we need to get, Father, so that we can walk in this power, manifest the love of God, and bring your deliverance to God's people. And so I pray for this wonderful fellowship, for the hearts of God's people here today. Also pray for the food as it's being prepared and set out, that we can just have a wonderful time of fellowship. Everybody walks in love, Father, and that we just are singing your praises all day long. We pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless.